County,
Cartmel,
Lonsdale,
Bolland,
Burness,
File,
Grisdale,
Kendal,
Graduate,
the UK, Europe, and the world.
Live across Lancaster University, this is Bailrig FM News.
87.7 Bailrig FM. Your campus radio
station. The week's top stories.
Scottish students unhappy with tuition fees deal. Thailand hospital siege over, leaving 10 gunmen dead. A million Spanish protest over car bombings in Madrid. And a Morecambe man dies in house fire. With Bailrig FM's World and National News, I'm Nicola Jones. Scottish students are opposing the deal on tuition fees reached by the Scottish Executive this past week. Under the plan, some graduates would begin repayments once they're receiving an income of £18,000, considerably lower than the £25,000 level recommended by the QB Inquiry, a committee set up to look into tuition fees. Student leaders from a number of Scottish universities have written to MSPs in protest, while the National Union on Students Scotland has attacked the deal as falling well short the £71 million plan proposed by the QB committee. The NUSS president stated that the union is in favour of wealthy students making contributions, not a payback system from all students once they have graduated. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan visited Moscow to address the need for humanitarian aid from tens of thousands of Chechen refugees presently in the neighbouring Republic of Ingushetia. Annan, in an interview on Russian state TV, stressed his concern for the civilians caught up in the conflict and continued to press for a peaceful resolution. A 24-hour siege of a hospital in Ratchaburi, western Thailand, came to a bloody climax on Tuesday following the storming of the building by over 70 Thai commandos. The raid was successful, resulting in the deaths of the 10 gunmen who were holding the hospital and leading to no injuries of the 700 staff and patients who had been held hostage. The rebel gunmen were believed to have been from the guerrilla group known as God's Army, who were protesting at the shelling of the Bunmese base by Thai forces. The US presidential race began in earnest this week and resulted in victories for Vice President Al Gore and Governor of Texas George W. Bush in caucus voting by party members in Iowa. Gore won convincingly over Senator Bill Bradley in the Democratic Party primary, while Bush was comfortably ahead of publisher Steve Forbes, the other favorite for the Republican Party presidential candidate. The Greek foreign minister visited Istanbul last Friday, the first such official visit in 38 years. During a meeting with his Turkish counterpart, the two sides looked towards reconciliation and greater contact between the countries in the future. And last Sunday saw over a million Spaniards marching in protest of last week's car bombings in Madrid, which marked the end of the 14-month ceasefire by Basque separatist group ETA. The bombings have been internationally condemned as threatening a lasting peace.
87.7 Bailrig FM.
Bailrig FM News.
With Bailrig FM local and campus news, I'm Gemma Barry. An emergency vehicle used by the local ambulance service was clamped this week in the private car park next to JJB Sports. The driver had popped into the shop for a few minutes and when he came back, the vehicle had been clamped. A member of staff from the ambulance headquarters in Preston had to come and pay a £45 release charge. The owners of the car park, who contract the clamping, are said to be speaking to the clamping company about the incident. Police are searching for three youths after an attack which occurred in the bus station on Tuesday afternoon. A 15-year-old boy was punched in the face before the other two proceeded to kick and punch him. The boy is suffering from cuts and bruises. The youths are thought to be about 15 or 16. One is thought to have mousy brown hair, blue jacket and brown trousers. He was about 5'9". The second was short black hair with a scar on his face. If you have any info, please contact Lancaster CID. A man from Morecambe died in a fire at the block of flats in the early hours of Tuesday morning in Westgate. Michael Doughty, 49, was asleep when the fire broke out in his flat in Aldriff Court. It is believed he fell asleep while smoking and the cigarette set fire to his bedding.
Bailrig 87.7 FM.
The latest advertising campaign from the Students' Union came to a climax this week when the new posters, "The Students' Union Does Everything For Me," were unveiled. We talked to Stuart Aitken, the General Secretary of the Students' Union, about the campaign.
Yeah, it's quite a cool campaign, hopefully. I think there's quite a lot behind it, as well as the immediate kind of visual impact that it's having. It was conceived over summer And was originally intended to run that first term, but we held it off and figured it could work as a good precursor for the elections this term, the sabbatical elections and so on.
So what do you see that it's telling people about Students' Union?
We do nothing for them. Yeah, obviously that's not the main message behind it. That was kind of the initial teaser, guerrilla-type poster, just to grab people's attention, and it worked. And it was really funny, actually, people coming up and going, oh, have you seen these posters? And I'm like, yeah, I've put them up. And that was really just to kind of hit people and think, what the hell's going on? And for them to start questioning it themselves. So hopefully that was happening. And then from there, running through the flyers, which were very visual and bright and colourful, that elucidated quite a lot on what the union does do. It's very kind of target specific, aimed at, you know, students. So that's why it was kind of beer, sex. It's things that everyday part of students' life and how the union actually impacts on that, to show that, yeah, we do stuff.
So do you see it that the consensus among students is that the student union doesn't do anything for them?
It was very tongue-in-cheek, because a lot of people probably don't know what the union does, and it might be that quite a few people do think that. But when they actually do think about it, I think people do actually know, you know, Scan comes out, they know there's the Sugar House, they know there's the housing office and advice centre, but it's just about kind of coordinating that and actually bringing it to the forefront, and that kind of thing. It's actually about re-enfranchising people with the union. At the minute, although Lancaster's very good in terms of participation rates in elections and things, it's not as good as it could be. So how to actually go about increasing that is go back to basics. Forget about, say, plugging the election. Go back, promote the union and what it does and what it offers, and the fact that, you know, put out that information, and people will become interested again, hopefully. That's kind of the idea behind it.
So how do you see that you could get people interested into the Students' Union?
Well, besides just dragging them down and stuff. Well, there's quite a lot of things, a lot of ways that we're going to do, and I'm actually working on a lot of those. A lot of it is about communication, about information going out there. You can't make anyone get involved if they don't want to. There is the old chestnut apathy, and I kind of developed the week over that apathy doesn't really exist, which some people think is kind of naive, but I think it's more idealistic. If it's people don't know what's happening, don't think they can make a difference, well then they're not going to care, they're not going to get involved. It's my job and the rest of the sabbatical and other student officers' jobs to show them what we are doing, what they can do, that it will make a difference, and then hopefully that should help people want to get involved.
Have you had a big reaction from the advertising campaign?
Yeah, there's been a fair few people coming in and saying things, and because it's been the information, the flyers and stuff have been put out in quite a few different ways, it's reaching a lot of people. We've not done any kind of follow-up research yet because the campaign's not yet run its course, but hopefully that will show that there has been some good feedback from it, and hopefully that kind of thing can be rerun again. I've actually had a lot of good feedback from other students' unions around the country and NUS themselves. I've mailed out a fair few to people who've requested it that I'm still in touch with, and NUS are looking to do something with it. So the idea there of promoting the union as, you know, to its members in that way is looking like quite a good one.
And now with all the latest sports news, here's Berwick FM sports correspondent Paul Turner.
The men and women's singles titles at the Australian Open will be decided this weekend as Andre Agassi takes on Yevgeny Kafelnikov in the men's final, and Martina Hingis plays Lindsay Davenport to decide who will walk away as the winner of the first women's Grand Slam tournament of the year. Agassi, the number one seed, came for a tough semi-final against the former world number one Pete Sampras, winning by 3-2, having been 2 sets down. The other men's semi-final between last year's champion Russia's Yevgeny Kafelnikov and Sweden's Magnus Norman, who beat the number 3 seed Nicholas Kiefer in the quarter-finals, saw Kafelnikov come out victorious by 3-0. Agassi and Sampras have been rivals at the top of the world rankings for the past year, since Agassi found an upsurge in his form at last year's French Open. Agassi has since won the US Open, while Sampras took his Grand Slam total to 12 with his 7th victory at Wimbledon. In the women's tournament, the surprise package was 24-year-old American Jennifer Capriati, who played Lindsay Davenport in the semi-finals. Capriati had been a top 10 player in the early 1990s, but in 1994 she was arrested for possession of illegal drugs, and many saw her tennis career as over. Capriati has made an amazing comeback by reaching the last 16 at two of last year's Grand Slam tournaments, and winning her first two titles for over 5 years. At a press conference after her quarter-final victory, Capriati was asked if she had been told a year ago that she would be in the semi-finals of the Australian Open, whether she would have thought the person who was asking her was smoking something. Journalists, it seems, never forget. Lancaster pulled off a 1-0 victory over Unibond First Division side Bradford Park Avenue last weekend to ensure their progression to the semi-finals of the Unibond League Cup. Their recent run of indifferent form continued on Tuesday night when Unibond Premier League side Worksop Town ran out 3-0 winners in the FA Trophy third round replay at James Axe. Lancaster was simply outclassed by the Midland side, who had seen the tie postponed 7 days earlier due to the dense fog that was enveloping the Dolly's ground. The only blot on Worksop's copybook were the fan scuffles at half-time, which saw at least one Worksop fan being carried from the ground by the stewards. It had all started so well for City when after only 7 minutes, young striker Chris Ward broke free in the area and sent a drilling shot beyond Worksop keeper John Kennedy, only to see it skate past the far post. Lancaster dominated the match for the first 35 minutes, and twice in quick succession left-back Jimmy Graham sent cracking shots in at the Worksop goal from beyond 25 yards, only to see Kennedy save one shot and the other skim just wide of the post. Lancaster were unable to capitalise, however, and when after 40 minutes Gary Townsend picked up a loose ball on the edge of the Lancaster area and placed it beyond Mark Thornley and into the corner of the net, Worksop were ahead and didn't look back. City Hedge dropped even further only 5 minutes later when a Worksop corner was poorly dealt with by the City defence and Mark Thornley, allowing Lee Hobson to head Worksop 2 ahead. The second half picked up exactly where the first had left off, with only the goalkeeping skills of Mark Thornley saving City from further humiliation, until after 66 minutes when Ryan Ludlam got on the end of a Mick Goddard cross to turn it past Thornley's flailing grasp. City tried to respond, but their only clear-cut chance came when Dean Martin found himself clean in the area, only to blast the ball at Kennedy's legs and see Jimmy Graham put the follow-up high over the stands. The 3-0 defeat put an end to City's FA Trophy hopes, but they were still up upon the league and League Cup in their quest for silverware. Manager Tony Hesketh was philosophical, but he does admit that the league was their main goal for this season. As for Worksop, well, it's just like watching Brazil, chanted their fans. It wasn't, but Worksop's a hell of a lot more like Rio after this result. For Berwick FM News, I'm Paul Turner.
Railrig 87.7 FM.
Railrig FM. The week's top stories.
Scottish students unhappy with tuition fees deal. Thailand hospital siege over, leaving 10 gunmen dead. A million Spanish protest over car bombings in Madrid. And a Morecambe man dies in house fire.
Railrig FM News is produced and presented by the Railrig FM News team. Next scheduled update is on top of the hour.
87.7 Railrig FM.